Bibles then to the book of 1 Corinthians. Anybody like to take a guess at what chapter? I heard it. Chapter 13. Tomorrow is a special day in our country as well. I had thought perhaps of preaching something along the line of heroes or some of our historical elements that are grand and glorious to us as a nation, even as a Christian. But I felt that that's not the way that I should go. I should look here at 1 Corinthians 13. How many of you have ever memorized this chapter? There's a few. There's several, maybe less than half. This is a good chapter to memorize. We might have to look at the possibilities of doing that. I did that in my first pastorate and my last pastorate. I mean the last pastorate. Memorize the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Why would I want, or why would I suggest that this be a good one to memorize? It's because the very first point of the message this morning, love is the essential principle of genuine religion. It's the bottom line. Let's look at it together. It's 13 verses long. Be all right if you stayed seated or you want to stand up. It's not that hard to stand up, I suppose, but some just can't. And a little difficult to see anything at all when everyone's standing, so I'll let you remain seated. How about that? First Corinthians 13, verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, some of us struggle with this next statement, don't we? But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Valentine's Day yesterday, as I mentioned, the little fellow that asked me what I did for Valentine's Day, I really went all out this year. I bought my wife a carbon arrow shaft cutter. John Gilley's the one that suggested I do that. We saw it at Cabela's last Monday, and I said, boy, I'd like to get one of those. He said, well, get it for your wife for Valentine's Day. So I did. I kept it in the box all week until yesterday. I gave it to her. Pat myself on the back for being so generous in my Valentine's thinking. Somebody suggested flowers. I don't know what the price of flowers are this year, but I know last year they were quite steep. I suppose they're about the same this year. You know, somebody's nodding their head real big as though they've had the experience of it this year. Maybe just looked at it and walked away. done what I've done many times and said, Leanne, I thought about flowers today, but it's the thought that counts, isn't it? Faye Clark, you didn't like that? Boy, I'm not gaining any friends this morning. We can spend so much money on Valentine's Day. So much money on the love of our life. Some people would say it's a waste of money. Other people would say absolutely not. Because love is an essential part of our lives. Love is the principle of the social life. It's a major part of us. Households love one another. You say, well, you haven't seen into my house. You haven't seen around my kids. I know. My mom used to tell my oldest brother and me that sinner kids fought worse than what we did. And then she would cry, and then we'd be all, oh, Mom, I'm sorry. Tears all dried, we'd go back to it again, it seemed like. I'm glad that those days between he and I are over. We don't slug it out anymore, or even fight with words anymore either. So glad it's all over with. But love is the essential principle of genuine religion. It's not that we have anything that God would want out of us in the way that we can gain His love, except that we are His creation, His prized creation, His choice creation, and He loves us for who we are. If we go back here to Romans chapter 5, it tells us a little bit of a, it gives us a better understanding of what true love is. You know, in the society that we are living in, it's different than the society that God wants us to pattern after. So we have to make sure that we're looking at what God understands as love. Romans chapter 5, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Do you see what he's saying here? God gave his son to die for the sinner, the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, let alone for an unrighteous man. Once in a while, you might find somebody willing to step up and die for a good person. Verse number 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Verse number 10 said, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. So sinners and enemy go hand in hand here in this context. While we were yet enemies or sinners, Christ died for us. That is a key understanding of what love is when we talk about Christian love, or when we look at what Christian love is described as in 1 Corinthians 13. What is Christian love? Well, it is love that makes the Christian. The world will know that ye are my disciples because you go to church together. Nope, that doesn't fit either. Because you fellowship together. No, that's not even necessarily it. The world will know that you are my disciples because you have love one for another. You see, it's a vital principle. It is the essential principle of genuine religion, of Christian living. Here in this passage of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul the Apostle starts off with the first three verses, blowing away the mentality that is involved with the thinking of mankind as to what they can put towards the relationship. What's he say? Verse number 1, he talks about talent. Let's not be narrowed down here to the exact details of what he's saying, but look at what he is generalizing here. And in verse number 1, he's talking about talents. Some people have a lot of talent to bring to the table. Some people may not have as many talents as the other person, but we all have a measure of talent. But it doesn't matter the measure of talent that we have, because talent is not brought into the equation. Love is. Verse number 2. Gifts. The gift of prophecy, or the gift of knowledge, of understanding, and of faith, and having the ability to do great things because of these gifts. It's not that at all. That's not brought into the equation. Love is. That's what he said. And have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, and have not charity, I am nothing. You see, the talent that we have, or the gifts that we have, do not measure up or take the place of the requirement of love in our lives as a Christian. Verse number 3. Well, surely what I've done is worth being looked at and loved, right? I've given everything that I have to the poor. I've built churches over in foreign lands because of the money that I sent to them. No, I didn't even pay 10% tithe. I went beyond that and gave 50% of my income. You can measure it however you want to measure it, but it's not based upon the merits that we have, of what we have done or what we hope to do, or even what we claim to have done. And have not charity, it profiteth me. You see, there's no necessary return coming from that unless it's done out of a heart of love. So what is it? What do we need to do? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Christ loved the souls of the world. He died to redeem them. Christians ought to be moved by love for the people that are around them. Otherwise, the things that we are called upon to do become drudgery and won't bring a blessing. Are you caught up in that this morning? The duties of and the responsibilities of Christendom, and yet you're losing the blessing because it's not being done out of a heart of love. You see, that's a very real possibility. Christians do things that are pleasing in the sight of God because they love him. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, "If you love me," what's the good sign of loving him? "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's pretty simple. That's pretty straightforward. Jesus said in John 15, verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now that's a pretty tall requirement. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." That's what Jesus said. If you don't believe it, if it's not familiar to you, look in John's Gospel, chapter 15. That is found in verse 13. Verse 14 says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." "This is my commandment, that you love one another." I'm going to jump back to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 27. "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you." That's hard to do. Have you ever tried that? Have you ever tried loving an enemy, someone that absolutely hates you? "Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you." We'll see if we can get through this, huh? Maybe I shared it with you before. I was playing basketball with a group of guys in Evansville. I think we met together on every Monday night. Had a couple of those guys that, for some reason, they detested me. I think it was just because of the preacher part of my name. I don't know what I ever did to them. But besides the point, it came time one day to pay up. We had to rent the facilities. And one of these guys was short some money. Before I left home, there was an extra amount of money. There was some money laying on the dresser top, and I felt check said, "Take that with you, you might need it." And so I took it with me, and here it was the exact amount that man was short in paying up. He asked all of his buddies, all the way up and down that line, if anybody had some extra money on them that night. I don't know, maybe he was known for borrowing, not repaying, but nobody was willing to give him that little bit of money. And I heard him talking and noticed he wasn't getting anything, so I didn't say a word. I reached into my pocket, pulled it out, and held it up to him. And he saw me hold it out, and he looked and did a double take because he didn't want to accept it. He would curse me to my face when we're playing ball. I tell you what, I walked out of there that night feeling pretty good. Heap coals of fire on their head. Didn't have anything against him. Bless them that curse you. It's not always easy. Pray for them which despitefully use you. That's difficult too, isn't it? Have you ever had to shake somebody's hand after church that you knew didn't want to shake your hand? Oh no, preacher, you've never had that happen. That's not going on anywhere. Well, it might happen more often than what you think. Verse number 31, we all know this verse, don't we? And as ye have had men do to you, do also to them likewise. Have you ever memorized that verse? It's not the way it says it, is it? That's the way we live it sometimes. As ye have had men do it to you, do also to them likewise. That's the way we kind of translate that into our own philosophy. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Treat them the way you would like to be treated. And there's not a one of us that enjoys being kicked around or pushed down or ridiculed and shunned, talked evil about or hated or despised. For if ye love them which love you. Now here he really gets down to the nitty gritty. He gets right down to where the rubber meets the road when it talks about love. Real, true love. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? You know what he's talking about there. Some people are just easier to love than others, aren't they? We just have that drawing. It's not hard to figure out. It's not hard to explain. It's just the way life is. What thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But, verse number 35, Jesus transitions his thinking here, his speaking here. Forget about that kind of thinking, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. You're asking an awful lot. No, I'm not asking anything of you. That's Jesus asking of us. You see, love is the essential principle of genuine religion. It is Christianity. When ye have love one for another, when you love your enemies, when the place is filled with such an overwhelming sense of love that people can feel that we do not detest them. It's been said so many times that in order for us to win a sinner to the Lord, we're going to have to first of all win them to ourselves. We're going to have to be their friend. And I believe that that's the way it goes even after we win them to the Lord. That we still keep them as friend. How do we do that? Through the love of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 13 gives to us so much detail as to what he expects out of us as his followers. We can have faith, we can have hope, but the greatest of the three that he mentions in the concluding verse, it's not faith, it's not the hope that is within us, but it is love that never faileth. Valentine's Day, what a great time for so many. But it's always Valentine's Day on the calendar of God for His people. And may God help us to love one another with a love that the world can see and the world can understand. Let's stand together this morning.